بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقدوتنا وقائدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما، أخرجنا من ظلمات الوهم وأكرمنا بنور الفهم، وأنعم علينا يا عظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد. All praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, almighty and glory, and peace be upon his beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I testify that there is no God except Allah, and I testify that Muhammad is the Prophet and the Messenger of Allah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, we continue with you of the 40 hadith of Imam al-Nawawi, of finishing a quarter of the book in which we are in the 10th hadith of the book. And this hadith is about the halal and the good way of earning the halal. I'll read that in Arabic, then inshallah we'll start in English. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا وإن الله أمر المؤمنين بما أمر به المرسلين فقال تعالى يا أيها الرسل كلوا من الطيبات واعملوا صالحا وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا كلوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم ثم ذكر أي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثم ذكر الرجل يطيل السفر أشعث أغبر يمد يديه إلى السماء يا رب يا رب ومطعمه حرام ومشربه حرام وملبسه حرام وغذي بالحرام فأنى يستجاب له رواه مسلم. On the authority of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah the Almighty is good and only accepts good. Allah has commanded the faithful to do that which he commanded the messengers. And the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O messengers, eat of the good things and do right. And Allah azza wa jal also says, O who you believe, eat of the good things wherewith we have provided you. Then he mentioned the case of a man who having journey Who had journeyed far, his tish filled and dusty, and who spreads out his hands to the sky saying, O Lord, O Lord, yani making dua, while his food is unlawful, his drink unlawful, his clothing unlawful, and he is nourished unlawfully, so how can he be answered? Narrated by Imam Muslim. This hadith, as we mentioned earlier, that Imam al-Nawawi only puts a hadith that he himself thought that a principle and a main aspect in Islam. And this is one of the main things, which is the good, and not the good, the ikhwani. The good is not only what we do from the outside, also the good is what comes through us and what goes inside us. So this is also plays a big role and great aspect in Islam. Starting with the hadith, Allah is good and only accepts from the actions which are good. Ikhwani, all of us are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from our deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had created the good deeds and the bad deeds. Allah is the one that created the good deeds and the bad deeds. But as respect to Allah azza wa jal, we always say that the good is from Allah and the bad is from us. But essentially, originally, that the good and bad are both created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah azza wa jal, he created the good for us to follow and the bad for us to keep away. And the bad is there for us as a test for Allah to see if we keep away from that bad. Do we keep away from that bad or do we fall into that bad? Do we keep away from that bad or do we fall into that bad? And that's a common question that people ask. Why did Allah create the bad? Why did Allah create the evil? Why did Allah create the haram since Allah wants us to keep away from it? The whole idea is Allah created that so Allah sees if you keep away from it or not. Do you obey Him by keeping away from it or not? Or else, if there was no good and if there was no bad and there's only good, then there's no need for belief. There's no need for good actions. All your actions are good. And then there's no need for at the end of the day to get the paradise. And Ikhwani, the taste of the paradise and the beauty of being in the paradise and the taste of being in the paradise, when you strive and struggle for it to keep away from the bad, to stay on the good, then you end the paradise that has much more a beautiful taste than wallahi, you earned it because you were in the good anyway and you found yourself in the good. When you work hard for something, then you have the value of that thing in your heart and you appreciate the thing that you did. But if the whole life is good and there's no bad, that means you didn't sacrifice to keep away from the bad. That means your life was easy and you end the paradise easy. When you have that, you sacrifice it to keep away from the bad and sticking by the good and then you enter the paradise because of the sacrifice that you made in this world, then you start tasting that beautiful taste of that sacrifice. In return, Allah Azza wa Jal rewarded you a great paradise. Those actions, Allah Azza wa Jal, He is good, He is tayyib. And tayyib is more, yani the closest meaning of translation of tayyib is good, but tayyib is more than good. Allah Azza wa Jal is good and only accepts what's good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only accepts from the actions of mankind, only what the action is good and clean. When we do things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we want Allah to accept those things from us, then those things must be good. And they must be in the best proper manner. And the first thing that you start with sincerity. Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept an action that's mixed. That the intention mixed. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ That all actions according to the intention. When you want Allah Azza wa Jal to accept a good action from you, that action must be fully good, so Allah Azza wa Jal, who is the best of good, to accept that good from you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's good only accepts what's good from the actions. And the first thing for the action to be good is the action must be sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's sake. The action must be done to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only Allah. The action must be also done in accordance to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So first you have the sincerity for making this action good. Then secondly, this action must be done in accordance to the way of Allah. Not my way, not his way, not anyone's way, except the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or else Allah Azza wa Jal does not accept an action, no matter how sincere the action is, if it's not done in accordance to the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. That's why you find a lot of the people in other religions that are sincere in their action. They're extremely sincere in their action. Like with the Christians, with the Jews, with a lot of the Buddhists, with a lot of the other religions, they are very, very sincere in their actions. But Allah does not accept the action. Why? Because the action is not good. Because the action is not done in accordance to Allah's way. It's not done in accordance to Allah's way. Believe me, there's a lot of sincere Christians who worship Allah. And they worship their Lord sincerely from their heart. But Allah doesn't accept their actions. And Allah does not even reward them the simplest reward ever. Why? Because that action is sincere, but it's not done in accordance to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the good here, ikhwani, is being sincere and doing the actions in accordance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And being good also, ya ikhwani, the good action is perfecting the action in the best way. In the most proper way. Perfecting the action in the best way, in the most proper way. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, when she used to donate money in the path of Allah, she used to wipe the smell of perfume or musk's perfume on the money. So they asked her, why do you rub the perfume musk or the smell and make your dollar or make your donation smell very well? She said, because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the donation reaches the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal before it reaches the hand of the poor. So I wanted my donation to be in the best form, reaching in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is the good. This is the good, and Allah Azza wa Jal only accepts, and which is good. Inna Allah tayyibun la yaqbalu illa tayyiba. Allah Azza wa Jal is good, and only accepts, and which is good. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah azza wa jal had ordered the believers, before he ordered the believers, he ordered the messengers who lead by an example for the believers to follow. So Allah azza wa jal ordered the messengers before he ordered the believers, in which Allah azza wa jal told the messengers, O messengers, كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا O messengers, eat from which is good and do which is good or do which is right. So Allah Azza wa Jal ordered the messengers in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent as a good example to mankind and to lead as a good example to people. Of course, why would Allah Azza wa Jal send a messenger to call people to something when this messenger himself doesn't even act upon it? Who will accept? When a messenger comes and tells people do good because Allah had revealed to me to tell you to do good, and that messenger himself is doing the bad. It does not suit the attributes and does not suit the qualities of messengers. That's why the messengers, one of their main qualities is they spread what Allah had revealed to them. They do not conceal what Allah Azza wa Jalla had revealed to them. They spread what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to them. And of course, just receiving that message, receiving that revelation, of course they're going to be in the best of character. Of course they're going to be in the best of conduct. Of course they're going to be in the best of qualities. You yourself, imagine if Jibreel comes to you once in your lifetime. You'll be so straight for the rest of your life. Could you imagine when Jibreel comes to you nearly every second day? Could you imagine when Jibreel comes to you maybe every day? Of course you're going to be in the best of conduct. Of course you're going to be in the best of Iman. You're going to be in the best of level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the messengers to lead by a good example in which they eat which is good and do which is right. Then Allah azza wa jal ordered the believers to follow the messengers, and Allah azza wa jal ordered them in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum. All those who believe, eat. All those who believe, eat the good things in which we had sustained you. Eat from the good of things in which we had sustained. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He has sustained us. And Allah Azza wa Jal created a lot of good. And Allah Azza wa Jal created a lot of bad. Allah orders us to eat, which is good. To take, which is good. And ya ikhwani, as we mentioned, the good is not only what you give, also the good is what you take. Is what you also take. Is what you also eat. That's why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam continues that hadith. And he gives the example of a man in the middle of the desert, going on a long journey, and his hair is all over the place, and is full of dust, and he's stuck with something. Obviously, in the middle of the desert, he looks right, left, front, and behind him, can't see no help, can't see no one around. So who does he resort to? He resorts to Allah Azza wa Jal, saying, Ya Rab, protect me, Ya Rab, give me, Ya Rab, sustain me. Whatever dua he makes, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, and then the Prophet ﷺ says, and the amazing thing about this man, his food is from the haram. His water is from the haram. His clothing is from the haram. And he's been nourished and he grew up on the haram. How would Allah accept from him? How would Allah Azza wa Jal accept from him? That's why my brothers and sisters, the scholars say, One of the main conditions for the dua to be accepted is to eat from the halal and to keep away from the haram. Is to eat the halal and keep away from the haram. One of the companions came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he told him, O Prophet of Allah, make me from those who Allah accepts the dua. So when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Atab mat'amak takun mustajab al-da'wa. He said, eat what's halal, drink what's halal, and Allah will make it from those who accept their dua. So a lot of those people who are in the haram, who are in riba and interest, who had stolen, who had committed, who lied to earn their money. And a lot of people lied to, for example, to Centrelink to earn their money, or lied to a lot of people to earn their money. At the end they say, why doesn't Allah accept a dua? Well, your answer is there. Allah does not accept the dua of someone that eats from the haram, or drinks from the haram, or he clothes himself from the haram, or he rents from the haram, or he drives from the haram, or he gives from the haram, or he buys from the haram. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not accept their dua. Allah Azza wa Jalla does not accept the dua. One of the main conditions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the dua of someone is to have clean food, to have halal food, to have halal earning, to have halal water, to have halal shelter, to have halal clothing. And that's why one of the companions, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, warns about the haram. And he says, مَخْتَلَطَ الْحَرَامُ بِالْحَلَالِ إِلَّا غَلَبَ. That any time that haram mixes with halal, haram beats it. Any time haram mixes with halal, just the haram beats it. And I'll give you a simple example. Imagine, you've got this big mosque. Fill it up with water. And one dot of blood or one dot of urine falls into it. I'll dare anyone from you to drink that water. Who would want to drink from this water? A big tank. The tank is that big. As big as this mosque. And it may be thousands of million, thousands of liters. And then one dot of blood or one dot of water or one dot of urine. And you know that one dot of blood or one dot of urine fell into this tank. And I told your brother, come and drink from it. He said, no way. It's dirty. And same thing when the haram mixes with the halal, makes it dirty. It makes it stink. And that's why it is important that when I earn my living, I earn my living from the halal. And I try and keep away from the haram. May Allah have mercy on the wives of the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhum. It's been narrated that when the companion, when one of the believers used to leave the house to go and earn his living, his wife will tell him, now what are the wives these days say, go and get your living no matter what, even if you sell drugs, but make sure you bring money. Make sure you bring money. By Allah, ya akhwan, I sat down in gatherings where a father was so proud of his children selling the haram and saying, huh, they give me money. They give me money. Unfortunately, this is the state of people that reach to. The wives of the companions, the wives of the righteous people, when the husbands used to leave the house in the morning to go and earn their living, they used to say to them, they used to tell their husband, by Allah, do not bring only which is halal to this house. For us to have patience on starvation in this world, easier than having patience in the hellfire in the year after. For us to have patience on starvation, not eating 1 or 2 days, we'll rather accept that than being in a hellfire, being tortured and burnt. This is the quality of the righteous women. These are the quality of the believers. Those who implement the orders of Allah Azza wa Jal, that are those who implement the call of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in which Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kulu min tayyibati ma razaqnakum, all those who believe, eat in which we had sustained you from the good. Eat in which we had sustained you from the good. So one of the main things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting the dua of anyone is to eat the halal, to wear the halal, to accept the halal, and keep away from the haram. And it's a must on a Muslim to keep away from the haram. A lot of people do get themselves involved in the haram. A lot of people do get themselves in the haram. Like, for example, people who bought things by the haram, or maybe before they repented, they were involved in the haram. So what's their situation? What's their condition? Well, in Islam, anything that you've earned in haram, you must get rid of. You must get rid of. As we mentioned, any time that the haram mixes with the halal, defeats it. You don't want to raise yourself on haram. Nor that you want your children to be raised on haram. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, and he had been nourished on the haram, grew up on the haram. You don't want your kids to eat the haram. That haram is like you're eating a fire inside you. It's like you're eating melted fire that's going in your stomach. You don't want that to happen on your kids. Being innocent, having innocent kids suffering for eating the haram just because of your bad actions. La wallahi, rather make him live on a tight life with the halal than living on a vast life with the haram. Those people, before they repented, they have haram. Whether they were dealing, for example, in the haram, or they stole things in the haram, or they have money from the haram, or they bought things from the haram, you must get rid of it. This is the Islamic law. You must get rid of it. No matter how big it is, you must get rid of it. You can't keep it and you can't use it for yourself. Where do you get rid of it? You give it to a poor person, give it to an Islamic organization, send it overseas, but you or your family or your mother or your father or your brother or your sister can't benefit from it. So the ruling of those who had earned the haram or having anything to do with haram money or haram income or haram goods, you must get rid of it. You must get rid of it fully. And it must get rid of it fully. If you can't get rid of it fully at once, then you have to do it in stages. But you must, at the end of the day, free yourself, clean yourself from that dirt, from the haram. Because, ikhwani, the haram is like dirt. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, for every sin you commit, Allah azza wa jal will make a black dot get on your heart. One sin after the other, one sin after the other will be dot, black dot over, a black dot over, a black dot. At the end of the day, if it was a white paper and you keep on putting black dots and thousands of those black dots, what happens? That white paper becomes a black paper until the heart becomes black. And then the heart doesn't want to hear good anymore, doesn't want to say good anymore, doesn't want to listen to good anymore, doesn't want to look at good anymore. It's black, made out of black, and Ali wants to see and follow the bad. And he wants to see and follow the bad. But ikhwan, it's the duty of a Muslim to keep away from the haram, no matter what the case is. Taking a portion of the haram in this world is like you earned a portion in the hellfire. It's like you are just building a hellfire in the hereafter. And people will be punished by the haram. And sometimes, ikhwan, we do underestimate the haram. We do underestimate the haram. And unfortunately, one of the things that people had fallen into is they're lying. Lying to earn haram. Lying to earn haram. For example, someone wants to sell something, he'll lie to make this product, or he'll lie to make this thing that he wants to sell something big when it's much smaller than what he made it, and to earn a more money over it. Of course, tijara is tijara, but there's reasonable profits. There is reasonable profits. Anything that goes overboard is haram. Anything that goes overboard is haram. Also, what you see and you experience a lot of people, and unfortunately, you see a lot of people, for example, a family, they'll go and register at Centrelink that I'm not working behind, yani, behind the scenes that are working. That's lying. You're earning your money by lying. They asked you how much do you earn. You say I earn 100 bucks when indeed you are earning, or behind the backs you're earning 600 bucks. And that's haram. Saying, wallah, this is a kafir country. Like, if you believe it's a kafir country, shouldn't be here, then go. And he can't, okay, say this is a kafir country, do halal from me, and at the same time stay in here haram. Okay? And you're here with a contract. Just stay here with that contract. You can't implement this and that. And this is a big topic that inshallah we'll address later on. But lying to earn money, that's haram too. Lying to earn money, lying to earn income, that's haram. You're earning your income by the haram. A lot of people, unfortunately, come out, they go to the Centrelink, for example, and for them to earn extra money, they register that has been separated. Register has been separated. And some register has been divorced. Well, number one thing is, when you sign on that paper saying that my wife is divorced, your wife is indeed became divorced in Islam. Signing on that paper saying that my wife is divorced, she's divorced. That's how it works. Signing on a paper that your wife is divorced, she's divorced. Like, for example, if I tell you, did you divorce your wife? And you say yes. And you're probably mucking around. Or maybe just take you want to tell him and say, I could walk away. Your wife became divorced in Islam. There's no such thing called playing around with divorce. Secondly, the money that you're earning from that, it's also haram. Because you lied to earn that money. And that money that's coming to your pocket, it's coming into your pocket illegally. When we talk about illegally and Islamically, and we have something in Islam for the ownership of the money to be passed from a party to another party is got to be done Islamically. And if it's not done Islamically, then the ownership of that money has not moved to the party that wants to take it. So it is very important that we earn our living by the halal. Also, ikhwani, one of the things in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not reject the dua of a traveler. Allah does not reject the dua of a traveler. When a traveler is in the middle of the desert, especially back then when they used to really see the hardships, when a traveler is in the middle of the desert and there is no one for them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, Allah azza wa jalla does not reject the dua of a traveler. And same thing, those who are stuck in the middle of the ocean. And Allah azza wa jalla mentions that in many times in the Quran al-Kareem to show you the relationship of the heart and how the heart is attached to Allah azza wa jalla. When someone is in the middle of the ocean and he's drowning, looks right and left, there's no one there for him. So who does he turn to? He turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He turns to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَإِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعْوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ. That when they are in the middle of the ocean, and the boat turns on them, and there's no one for them except Allah Azza wa Jalla, they ask and resort to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so Allah will save them, and when they are back on land, they turn against Allah. وَالْعِيَاذَ بِاللَّهِ. And one of the famous stories is a story of a great companion who was also a traveler. A companion who was also a traveler by the name of Ibn Ma'laq. And one day while he was traveling between Mecca and Syria, he was stopped by a high robber. And that high robber said, I want your money and I want to kill you. So he said, by Allah, what do you want to kill me for? Just take my money and take all my good and leave me alone. He said, I insist on taking your money and killing you. So this companion realized that there's no one for him to resort to except Allah Azza wa Jal. So he said, give me the chance to pray the last four rak'at in my life, and inshallah, and then you do what you want to do with me later. So he prayed four rak'at to Allah Azza wa Jal, and then he raised his hands to Allah Azza wa Jal, saying, oh Allah, you are the Lord of this universe. Oh Allah, your greatness overpowers everything in this world. Oh Allah, you are the supporter, support me. Ya Allah, you are the protector, protect me. Ya Mughith, aghithni. Oh Allah, protect me from this thief. Oh Allah, you are the supporter and the protector, protect me from this thief. Oh Allah, you are the supporter and the protector, protect me from this thief. So after he gave salam, he saw the high robber that was armed, willing to kill him, dead on the ground. And who's standing by next to him? A big, gigantic warrior standing next to him, armed with a weapon. He said, but Allah, who are you that Allah just saved me with now? He said, I'm an angel that came from the fourth heaven down to save you. And he said that when you made the first dua, we heard that the gates of the heavens shaking. And when he made the second dua, the angels were calling, saying, oh Allah, someone is calling for help. And the third time you made that dua, I asked Allah to allow me to come down and help you. So subhanAllah, the dua of a traveler is not rejected. And the dua of the oppressed, the dua of the mazloom is not rejected. And the dua of the father or the mother over the children. The dua of the mother or the father over the children. And this is a very important point, and I say this to the parents. A lot of the time, especially the mother, when she gets angry, she starts to make dua, Allah yakhdak, Allah yil'anak, Allah kaza, Allah mab'araf shu, ma Allah destroy you, ma Allah take this away, Allah lay wafak. And all this ad'iyah, you know what I mean? You know, I heard one dua of one mother to her son, I wish I gave birth to a cat and I didn't give birth to you. Allah kaza, Allah mab'araf shu. And all these ad'iyah that come out of the tongue of the mouth of the mother, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned. He warned about this. He said, do not make dua on your children. Maybe that moment when you're making dua on them, your dua gets accepted. Maybe that moment when you're making that dua on your child, maybe that's a moment that Allah accepts your dua. So do not make dua on your children. Okay, you saw something wrong from your child? Allah yahdik, Allah wafak, Allah ghayrak. Allah change you. Don't you want him to change? Make dua, Allah make change. Oh Allah change him. Oh Allah guide him. Oh Allah, you know, Allah bring him to the deen. And subhanAllah, that dua does effect. And also there's more others that the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that Allah does not reject the dua of other people. And ya ikhwani, talking about the dua, a lot of people say, why didn't Allah accept my dua? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will accept the dua of the supplicator until he says, why didn't Allah accept my dua? So you as a Muslim, when you raise your hands to Allah and you ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you whatever, or Allah to protect you, or to prevent away from you whatever, you should always have patience on when Allah Azza wa Jal accepts your dua. Maybe that's a test on you that Allah Azza wa Jal will accept your dua. And you want to hear something, ikhwani? Listen to this, and I guess this will motivate you. When the non-believer, when the asi, when the disobedient asks Allah for something, Allah tells Jibreel, oh Jibreel, give him what he wants. I don't like to hear his voice. Oh Jibreel, give him what he wants. I don't like to hear his voice and I don't like his supplication. But when the believer asks Allah, the angels run, they want to give you what you want. They're there to serve you. Allah will tell them, don't give him what he wants. I love to listen to him. I love to listen to him. And I want him to ask me more. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and ask me and I'll give you. Ask me and I'll give you. Then give him what he wants. I want to listen to his supplication. And I promise him that I'll give him what he wants and even more. And that's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either give you what you want or what you're asking for now or later, or Allah azza wa jalla will indeed give it to you in the hereafter. And now, ya ikhwani, if Allah didn't give it to you in this dunya, it's the khair for you. It's the good and the benefit for you. Especially those who have a strong relationship with Allah azza wa jal. Maybe a believer will raise his hands to Allah and say, ya Allah, give me money. Ya Allah, give me wealth. Allah maybe will not give you that in return. Why? Because that wealth maybe will take it away from him. He would not give it to you. You know your child, ya ikhwani? Your son. I have a son, he's 2 years old. But I didn't give him a dollar. Why? Because I know this might harm him. That maybe, I could, don't you sometimes see a father that's very wealthy? And his son is about 10 years old and says, Dad, give me the car. Maybe the father is not afraid on the car, but he's afraid on his son. Because he'll misuse that car. And then the damage will come on the son, not on the car. Maybe he doesn't care about the car, he's got thousands of cars. Maybe sometimes you yourself don't want to give your son extra money because this money will spoil him and wreck him at the end of the day. فَيَخْوَانِ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أَحْكَمِ الْحَاكِمِينَ And Allah Azza wa Jal أَعْدَلْ Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala الْعَدْلِ Allah is the most just. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala sometimes does not give his servants what his servants want just for the sake of his servants not to be taken away from him. Or just for the sake of his servants not to fall into that fitna. A man came to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and told the Prophet, O Prophet of Allah, ask Allah to give me. I want wealth. I want to use that wealth for the sake of Allah. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I'm afraid I will ask Allah to give you, then Allah will give you, then you'll be walking away from the deen. The Prophet warned him. So he said, O Prophet of Allah, I promise you that I want to take this money and I want to get wealthy so I could give the rights of that wealth. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one that Allah does not reject his dua. He raised his hands and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give that companion what that companion asked for. So Allah azza wa jal opened up on that companion. Opened up on him. And some say he was a hypocrite. Allahu alam. Allah opened up on him and he started to get wealth and he started to get rich and rich and rich and rich and rich until he was so occupied with his wealth. So he started to reduce his prayers from praying 5 times to 4 times, from 4 times to 3 times, from 3 times to twice, from twice to once until he stopped praying. And then at the end of the year, MashaAllah, he became one of the wealthiest people, of course, blessed by the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent one of the companions who used to collect the zakat, to collect the zakat of his wealth. So when that companion came to him, he said, okay, you've got that much amount, kaza, you are due for zakat, that amount. He said, what? I'm not going to accept such a thing like that. This is exactly like a jizya. This is exactly the same way that you treat the non-believers. It's the tax that you treat the non-believers. There is no zakat in my wealth and I'm not paying anything. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran al-Karim a verse. Speaking about the example of this man in which Allah azza wa jalla says, and some ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for what Allah, ask Allah azza wa jalla for the blessings and the favor when Allah gives him the turn away from Allah. So he came running to give his zakat to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet rejected him. And the next year, the Prophet rejected him. And then it was the time of Abu Bakr also rejected him. And then it was the time of Umar al-Khattab even rejected him. And then at the time of Uthman, maybe Uthman felt and sensed that he repented, so he accepted his zakat. But ikhwani, sometimes Allah Azza wa Jal, you might ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, but Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not accept it to you. Allah Azza wa Jal does not give you what you want because He knows the harm that will come to you. That's why ikhwan always say, oh Allah, give it to me if there's khair in it. Oh Allah, give it to me if there's khair in it and keep away from me and keep me away from it if there is no khair in it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us upon from those who listen and act upon what they hear and learn. Subhanakallah, hamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.